Good afternoon, dear brothers and sisters. What a glorious blessing it is to be gathered here in this wonderful church dedicated to the Immaculate Virgin Mary. The church is so beautifully decorated. You have many images. High up here, you have the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You've got the most beautiful glass window. And beneath the window, you have the first and the final mysteries of the Holy Rosary. On one side, the Annunciation, and on the other side, Mary crowned as Queen of Heaven and Earth. And I want today to reflect a little bit on the Annunciation, the first mystery of the Rosary, because the feast day is taking place on Monday next. Usually it's the 25th of March, but this year it was postponed until after Easter, and it is on Monday of next week. As we are making this reflection, I like to recall two titles of the Virgin Mary that we've already prayed to her by in the litany. First of all, Mary, Refuge of Sinners. What a reassuring title that is. We are sinners, she is our refuge. And the second title, again from her litany, Mary, Gate of Heaven, the Gate of Heaven. We know very well, reading from the first book of the Bible, from Genesis, the Gate of Heaven was closed after the fall. Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, the gates were closed. An angel was put guarding them. And instead of being the children of God, whom we were created to be, we became instead the banished children of Eve. We were separated from our true life. We were separated from our eternal home. And none was able to cross back to God, from whom we all have come. God in his love sent great teachers and leaders and prophets among the people, but the gap remained. None was able to bridge that gap. Ultimately, it was God himself who took an extraordinary initiative. Because of his love for us, though we are sinners, he wanted to open the gates of heaven to bring us back to the home which had been prepared for each of us before ever we were born. The angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. He was sent to a young virgin who was engaged to a man named Joseph of the family of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. This image presented to us here, it's probably the most recorded image of the life of Mary. All the great artists over the years have loved to depict this moment. And we look at it and we are inclined maybe to take it for granted because we are very familiar with the story. We have 20/20 hindsight, we understand. But for a moment, let's try to put ourselves in the place of Mary when the angel came with his message to her. Mary was first of all greatly disturbed by the coming of the angel, and particularly disturbed by the greeting of the angel Gabriel. But the angel immediately calmed her down, reassured her, and says, "Do not fear, Mary, for God has looked kindly upon you. You shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." With these words, again, Mary was greatly troubled, because we have to remember she lived in the world of her day, the Jewish world. It was a very strongly monotheistic world. That is to say, the people strongly believing in one God. They were surrounded by people who had many, many gods. And they said, no, for us, we have one God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. Only one. The Romans had many gods, and they were in control of the country at that time. But for Mary, as a devout Jewish woman, there was only one God. And therefore it seemed how strange to speak of the Son of God. This was the great problem that the Pharisees would have with Jesus, because they insisted, there is only one God, he is our Father in heaven. How can you possibly speak about yourself as the Son of God? And they were angry with him. They said he was blaspheming. It's impossible. Even his disciples and followers, they also found his speaking about him being the Son of God something very, very difficult to accept. And that must have been how Mary was feeling when the angel came and spoke to her. Her response, of course, was very beautiful. Be it done unto me according to your word. We have, as I say, a long period of hindsight to understand the mystery of the Annunciation. The disciples had the experience of the miracles of Jesus, but Mary had none of that to support her, only her trust in God deeply in her heart. How could Mary understand the idea of being with child by the Holy Spirit? What would her neighbors say in the small town where she lived? They would not understand to be with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. And surely she must have suffered many jibes and unkind remarks from people because of that. Mary assented to the message brought to her by the angel Gabriel. Saint Bernard, who is known for his tremendous love for the Virgin Mary, speaks of this moment as everything stopping, even in heaven. And the angels are, if you like, looking down, and God is waiting, and everybody is waiting. How will Mary respond? And she responds so simply, be it done unto me according to your word. And in the Angelus we say immediately, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. This was the moment that the gates of heaven were opened once again, because the Son of God became human in the womb of the Virgin Mary from this moment. And so there was a human being united deeply, totally, with the Almighty God, and so, at long last, the gulf separating us sinners from God was closed. So the Annunciation is the beginning of our salvation, and it is the moment when the gates of heaven are opened, because the Son of Man came among us, was born of the Virgin, to be born of the Virgin Mary. Now it's important for us to realize that all the mysteries, all the events in the life of Mary, they have two sides. One side dealing with Jesus, with her Son. But the other side dealing with the body of Christ, with all of us. And so we have to reflect today, what is the meaning of the Annunciation for me? Not just for Mary. Mary, my mother, the mother of the church, the refuge of sinners, what is the meaning of this moment in my life? We can say very simply, reading from the letter of St. Peter. St. Peter is the great hero of this Easter period, the one who was so timid and denied Jesus. When the Spirit comes upon him, he becomes the great hero, the great witness. In his first letter, he says, you have not yet seen him, yet you love him. Even without seeing him, you believe in him and experience a heavenly joy beyond all words. For you are reaching the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The mystery of salvation, accomplished wonderfully in Mary from the first moment of her existence, her Immaculate Conception, must also be accomplished in the lives of each one of us. We are no longer the exiled children of Eve. In St. John's Gospel, we are told, those who believed in Jesus, those who accepted him, born of Mary, to them were given the power to be the children of God, the sons and daughters of God. Hugo Ranert is a great teacher in the Catholic Church, and he says we can rightly speak of, we too are called to be immaculate. Mary was immaculate from the moment of her conception. We are destined to be immaculate, to be freed of sin, not by in the same way as Mary, but through the mercy, the forgiveness of God, brought to us in such a lovely way by Mary, the refuge of sinners. Mary is extremely important to us because, as the mother of the church, as our mother, given to us by Jesus as he died upon the cross, she is the one who fosters and strengthens the faith in our hearts. If we are to be reborn, to become immaculate, freed of sin, then it's so very necessary to cling closely to Mary, our mother. Many of you have known this very well already, and you put your trust and hope in following with Mary and, as it were, clinging on to her robe. I can recall many, many years ago when I was a small boy in a primary school, two men, young men from our town in Ireland, came over to Britain to try and make a life for themselves. And one of them did very well, and the other one fell by the wayside. They were close friends, and what was the difference? The man who did well, he said, I'll tell you the difference. The difference was, I never let a day go by. I never slept at night without first saying my three Hail Marys to the Virgin Mary. Your day with Mary is inculcating something very beautiful and important, namely, through Mary, we cling closely to her and we are united deeply with her divine Son. How good it is not just to say our three Hail Marys, but as you, I'm sure so, most of you do, to say also your rosary day by day. This is keeping us close to the one who is the refuge of sinners, who is the gate of heaven. Let me conclude with a little anecdote. You have many, many stories about Peter at the gate of heaven. And one story goes that Peter was a little bit anxious. He was speaking with the Lord and he said, Lord, there's an awful lot of people in here. I don't know how they got in because I didn't necessarily invite them to come in. And he said, Lord, could I maybe just close the gate for a few days? And I'm going to go around and check all these people because maybe I don't know that they should be here at all. So the Lord agreed and Peter closed the gates and he went around and he couldn't make anything of it, but he kept seeing new faces. And it was only then after some time he discovered, he went into one corner of heaven and there was the Virgin Mary, and in her room the window was open, and through the window she had lowered her rosary beads. And so many people were climbing up into the eternal heaven. The rosary is a wonderful gift to us, and it's a great means that we have of remaining close to Mary, and in that way being assured of her refuge and being assured of the gate of heaven being opened to us. We ask her as is written all around the church, to pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.